Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Sacrifice, and I think we need to consider that. You know, if we look in Scripture and we look at in the Old Testament, we look at these things that God asked the people to do, to come and to bring something for him. And it was a sacrifice. It was a giving up of something. The third verse of this song we just read, have you made a consecration of your earthly time and store? Have you placed them on the altar? You know, if we come here today to place this time, you know, our time in life, it's limited. For some, you know, this may be the only day off that you have. There may be all sorts of things that we could or feel like we should be doing today. But if you've come here, I hope that you've done it wanting to consecrate this time and give it to the Lord, place it on his altar, that you're offering it up as something that's of importance to you, but because you desire something from him. It says, if we place these things on the altar, that third verse says, then the master asks no more of us, that we give up these things to him. And so I would ask that you would sacrifice today, be willing to offer up your time and your attention, the busyness of the world and all those things that's outside. We could invite it in if we chose to. But I hope that you've come here because you want to hear what the Lord has to say. And so I give you now for this hour our brother Glenn Orsted as he would bring the message.
Well, thank you, Adam, and good morning to each of you. I greet you each in the name of our Lord. Those of you here before me in the chapel or might be watching through the live streaming or maybe at some future date through our audio recordings, I greet each of you this day in the name of our Lord. Well, as I contemplated the time that I would have before you this morning, I was mindful and drawn to the fact that in a little less than 2 weeks, it will be Thanksgiving, which is a truly American holiday. There are those which are a universal Christmas throughout the various lands and stuff. But Thanksgiving is its origin and its uniqueness is to this land here, America. Not that he can't be thankful and shouldn't be at all times, but it is a holiday with its origins rooted here in the foundation and the bringing forth of this nation and the freedom of worship and the growth and the spreading to the world of Christianity. And so as I mentioned that, and probably you've given thought to and begun to make plans for the Thanksgiving holiday, I'm sure that each of you are at least partially or maybe even quite scholared in the understanding of the history of that very first Thanksgiving in 1621. But this morning I would like to maybe consider an aspect that was crucial to the success or even the possibility of that first Thanksgiving that maybe doesn't get quite as much attention. It's certainly not obscure, but sometimes around Thanksgiving, we don't get a lot of thought to that. And so I would like to begin this morning and draw our attention back to maybe a time a little bit before that, but before doing so, as I opened this morning, I did so with a reading of Psalm 100. And as those pilgrims, after spending some 65 miserable days crossing the ocean on November 9th, 1620, finally sighted the land that they desired to go to. And on that day, as they sighted the land, they were led by William Brewster with Psalm 100 as a prayer of thanksgiving. And that's what I opened with this morning. Over half of them would die that first winter. But I'd like to go back a few years, back to 1614. In 1614, there was an English adventurer in New England, the New Land. They're seeking ways to prosper and profit from the abundances that were there through fishing and some of the trade opportunities that presented themselves. And he decided while he was there, as he was preparing to depart, that he would abduct 27 of the native inhabitants of the land that he'd come to. He would take them, and he would take them to sell in Spain as slaves. The name of one of those young men was Tisquantum. His name has been anglicized as Squanto, as you may more commonly hear him referred to. And as I researched this a little bit, I mean, there are a lot of varying accounts about the specifics of what really kind of transpired from the time he was forcibly removed from his homeland. And so I don't want to get into a lot of things that history isn't really sure about. But what we do know is during his time, after being sold as a slave, he had the fortune, or I would say the blessing, to apparently have been at least treated well and was educated, learned English, and was introduced to Christianity. Again, there's kind of debate exactly how it came to happen, but eventually from Spain he was able to find his way to England. And then in England in 1619 he was able to join a venture to the new land by Thomas Dermer. And so in 1619 a ship sailed again for the new land with Squanto aboard. We don't know exactly what was going through his mind, but I can kind of imagine finally having the opportunity to the land that he'd known as home, the family that he had been abruptly taken from. But he returned to find that his entire tribe, all his relatives and the entire tribe, his ancestors, had been wiped out by an epidemic. He was the last survivor of that tribe. And if I pronounce it correctly, I apologize if I have it wrong, but Patuxet. And so he found himself in the land of his birth, but not what he was anticipating in his return. And so when the pilgrims arrived in New England in that November of 1620, they found themselves ill-prepared for the harsh winter. And by the following spring, March of 1621, only 47 of the original 102 were still alive. Looking forward, those survivors of beginning to start their new lives here and farm and to benefit from the abundance that was known for this land. They were extremely, at least, disappointed and frustrated to find that really many of the seeds that they brought for growing plants wouldn't prosper. Their methods, the seeds they brought, wouldn't work well in the new world. They had encountered some hostilities with some of the inhabitants of the land around them. And then in that March of 1621, they would meet this English-speaking Indian, Squanto. He would be instrumental in their survival. their prosperity. He would teach them farming techniques for the land, fishing, exploration areas that would be of benefit for the needs they need, their provisions to sustain them. He would be able to assist with in negotiations and communications with the other natives of the region. Most historians agree that few, if any, of the pilgrims would have survived if it were not for him. And according to the diary of Pilgrim Governor William Bradford, he wrote that Squanto, quote, became a special instrument sent of God for our good. He showed us how to plant our corn, where to take fish, and to procure other commodities, and was also our pilot to bring us to unknown places for our profit, and never left us till he died. And later, when he would contract an illness and a fever that ultimately would take his life, Bradford wrote that their Indian friend, quote, desired the governor to pray for him that he might go to the Englishman's God in heaven, end quote. And he noted that Squanto bequeathed his possessions to his English friends as remembrances of his love. As I read through that story and that history, you know, not exactly the same, but I do see similarities with the circumstances with a familiar story in the Bible of Joseph. An individual who found himself, against his will and desires, being sold into slavery, into circumstances outside of his control, removed from his family, enduring whatever it entailed, and yet ultimately finding that he was an instrument for God, for the blessings of many. And so I'm quite sure that when Squanto was abducted, he probably didn't feel he had much to be thankful for. Can only try to imagine an individual who at that time didn't speak the language, taken from the home he's known, his family, in the poor conditions of sailing ships at the time, and certainly as slaves most likely would have been treated, and to another land. But the truth was, despite the harsh circumstances, his life was spared and extended. If he'd been there, he would have died with the remainder of his family and the rest of his tribe there. He would surely have contracted the same disease or illness that was there. And he also learned of Christ. And so I reflect how oftentimes when we find ourselves in circumstances that we find challenging, difficult, that many times if we could see the future, we would see its purpose. But when we're in there at the moment, we may not see God's ultimate plan or the end blessing. And so I believe it's really an understanding and our trust and our faith in God that although the immediate situation or condition may seem dismal, it's through our faith in Jesus Christ that we have hope for the outcome, for our destination. And I believe it was that understanding that allowed the Apostle Paul to write, as we find recorded in the fifth chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read the first five verses, 1 through 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I don't plan to keep you very long this morning, because I would just like to instill within you that hope that we cling to, and that we are reinforced in our faith by the examples such as these individuals, Joseph, Squanto. We've heard brothers and sisters stand and give testimonies of sometimes a situation or circumstance that they didn't like, they thought was horrible, they had a difficult time, but then with time, as they look back, they see that it directed them to some blessing that they received for it. It put them in a better circumstance or a situation than they might otherwise have been. And so therefore we have, through our hope and our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, an understanding that we must be, and as the Scriptures implore for us, to be thankful in all conditions and circumstances, because as we read in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We cling to words like that because those are what get us through some of those trials and those tough times of life, that we don't know where the outcome's going to be. It's going to be so much easier to be thankful and easier to wait things out if we could see the outcome, but we don't. That's where faith comes in. Joseph didn't know the outcome when his brothers cast him into a pit and sold him into slavery, and now he's suddenly carried away and into Egypt. Squanto, I don't know, history didn't record what his thoughts were at the time, but I'm sure any of us can imagine what it'd be like to suddenly be forcibly ripped away from your family, ripped away from this city, carted to another land where you don't understand the language, no freedoms, you're now property. And yet ultimately, that would be a blessing for him. And so we're called to be thankful. Thankful even when the circumstances around us may not give us cause to think that we have reason to be thankful, but thankful that we have a Heavenly Father who sacrificed His Son on our behalf, that we have the hope of the outcome of where we're going. We have hope of where the journey is taking us to. We have hope that ultimately He and His righteous followers will be victorious. I'd like to go to Alma, the 16th chapter, verses. I'm going to start verse 237. You can find that on page 431. Alma chapter 16, 237. And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that ye should remember these things, that ye should work out your salvation with fear before God, that ye should no more deny the coming of Christ, that ye contend no more against the Holy Ghost, but that ye receive it and take upon you the name of Christ, that ye humble yourselves even to the dust and worship God in whatsoever place ye may be, in spirit and in truth, and that ye live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which he doth bestow upon you. Yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away by the temptation of the devil, but that he may not overpower you, that ye may not become his subjects at the last day, for behold, he rewardeth you no good thing. In Ephesians 5:20, we read, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Thanksgiving is. Taking a moment to reflect and realize that even in the most dire circumstances, we have things to be thankful for. And even if you cannot find anything tangible at the moment, we are always thankful that we have a Savior who has paid the price, that we have a hope of eternal happiness in God's kingdom forever, that we have a hope that things will resolve themselves. We have a hope and a faith that all things work for good. That all things work together for good to them that love God. But sometimes He has to allow or take us through some trials to get us to where He wants us to be. And I think that's kind of the defining thing among the faithful, or those who can't, because Satan wants to separate us from God. He wants to fill us with all the negative emotions, hatred, jealousy, rage, anger, and I could go on. But the faithful will always try to shelter that out. We can't fully not be affected by it, but the faithful will always be able to find something to be thankful for. I think that's the foundation of keeping us strong in the faith, is always being able to find things to be thankful for. I read something some years ago about a marriage counselor, and he kind of had a kind of little litmus test that he did. It kind of helped him gauge where people were in their relationships and where he needed to focus and kind of direct his efforts or the attentions. And what he'd do is ask each of the couple, you know, to sit down and think of something that they were thankful for from the other one. And he said he knew if both of them could find something to be thankful for, he had a good chance of salvaging that marriage. He knew if one could find something thankful and the other couldn't, he knew where to focus his efforts, but it would be a challenge. And he found that if neither could sit there and take a few moments and come up with something they were thankful for the other, that it would be a very difficult task. Because he pointed out these are two people who at some point were attracted to another, had enough interest that they got married or they entered into this relationship. But that when the hatred and the frustration caught it out that they couldn't even remember something to be thankful for, the challenge was difficult. But he knew that they all had something that they could be thankful for the other. Or they wouldn't have been there together in the first place. And so it is our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That it's important that we always take time to think about what we have to be thankful for, regardless of what's going on around us, or what we're enduring, or the path that's taking us. And so it was, those early pilgrims, certainly they had a hard time. Over half of them died. Just a lot, just getting here and stuff, and yet they still found time to be thankful after that first year, that they had reason to rejoice and to be thankful. And so do we. I like to read the 69th Psalm, verses 30 through 35. Psalm 69, verses 30 through 35. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. And as we read in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I think one of the challenges that we face living in a time, in a society of abundance and comfort, is some of the, by comparison to people throughout history, some of the smallest of the inconveniences or the trials become magnified. When we compare our lives to those, you know, a century ago or two centuries ago, without all the industry and the conveniences of running water and electricity and cars, the most simple of things were a struggle. To go into town meant hooking up horses to a wagon. And if you wanted heat, you were cutting down trees and hauling water. If you wanted it warmed, you're building a fire. And there was a lot of hardship. And so with a lot of hardship, it was easy to find the things to be thankful for. A simple little thing that eased the burden or allowed things to go well. Simple thing of rain to make your crops grow. A simple thing of a horse that you desperately needed to plow your fields that became ill, that's now recovered to do what was needed to do. And because we've sheltered ourselves so much from the harsh realities of life, we magnify the simplest of frustrations. And when that happens, it becomes easy to forget how much we have to be thankful for. For we have a lot. We have a lot. And so as I stand before you this morning, it is to implore you to realize that we have much to be thankful for. And even oftentimes when it may seem that our life is in shambles, or the trials or the obstacles before us seem insurmountable and stuff, it's through our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ. We know that it's not the moment that we focus upon, but the endurance, the completion, the journey, the goal at the end. Many great athletes will endure a whole lot of pain, exhaustion, dehydration, endure it all for that ultimate goal, to get that win, to be in the winning team or be the winning person. And they'll endure all these things because they see that goal, they see that objective, and they'll push themselves and they'll drive themselves. And we as Christians have that same calling that, yes, it's a difficult walk in this life, but we're driving for the goal. We are enduring for the goal. Our focus is on the goal. Our focus is on the destination. Our focus isn't upon the now, but the hope of tomorrow. And just because we have that hope, we have reason to be thankful for. I would like to close this morning with the use of the 138th Psalm. Psalm 138, I'm going to read the entire psalm. It's a short one, 8 verses. Psalm 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And in the day when I cry, thou answerest me. and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. And I do hope that you each have a wonderful Thanksgiving in which you can all find much to thank our Heavenly Father for.